Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Alhamdulillah, 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 nasta'inuhu, nasta'firuhu, wa nu'minu bihi, azza wa jalla. Subhanaka allahumma wa bihamdika wa tabaraka ismuka wa ta'ala jaduka wa la ilaha ghayruka. We begin with Allah's name, most merciful benefactor, most merciful redeemer. I bear witness there is no God save Allah alone, and there is nothing worthy of worship or praise except Almighty God, Allah. Highly praised be He. And I further bear witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed Almighty God's most humble servant and most noble and generous message. All the praise is due to Almighty God, Allah. We ask Him for help. We turn to Him for forgiveness. We believe and we trust in Him. Mighty and sublime is He. Glory is to You, O Allah, and to You is the praise. And blessed is Your name, and there is none to be worshipped besides You. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum. That is peace be unto you. Welcome to the airways of America Muslim 360. And this is the broadcast of the evolution of revolutionary thought and created purpose. I am your host, Kareem Hameed, along with you this morning as we enter into another study session of the addresses and lectures of Imam Walid Saddiq Muhammad Rahim Allah Alayhi. We seek to engage our group intellect and to glean from the featured lectures of Imam Muhammad's knowledge, wisdom, and direction for our practical for the practical application in our personal and community lives. These study sessions are open to all well-meaning human beings. Praise be to Almighty God Allah. I want to first share with you an opening for the study session. So I ask you, okay, here we go. Praise be to Allah. So I ask you, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while, God willing. Here we go. These are the words of our beloved Imam Wafidi Muhammad Rahim Allah Alayhi.
For rebuilding in the United States of America, for our life as Muslims in this country, we are doing it for ourselves, but we are doing it in the spirit of a true Muslim follower of the model man, Muhammad. God wants to value common origin. It's more important to know that you are human in the mold God created for you than it is for you to know that you are African, because you were first in the mold of human before you were in the mold of African. He was born of a woman. She had to change his diapers or wipe up behind him the spills that he left. I don't know, that can't be my God. My God is the God of... our model, the Prophet Muhammad, the peacemaker. We should be liberators. We should be championing the cause of freedom of religion. It is God that has put you on solid foundation. Foundations that your own life, your own natural life is asking for.
Thank you. Alhamdulillah. Yes, for those of you that are with us in the studio, unfortunately, my phone was on mute, and you could not hear my words nor the presentation being presented. I apologize. That's part of this technology. You put yourself on mute to reduce background noise and other reasons, and sometimes we fail to dislodge the mute button. But anyway, praise be to Allah. We are sharing with you an address given by Imam Waqidee Muhammad in the city of Philadelphia. It is entitled Supporting the Best Life for All People. And this address was given at Martin Luther King High School. His focus was on addressing the young minds that was present at that setting, praise be to Allah. Well, anyone that was at that setting, he was addressing them on supporting the best life for all people. We shall begin the audio once more from the beginning, inshallah. And let me see. Okay. And I'm grateful for your putting up with me this long on mute. Okay, we will begin the address once more. It is entitled Supporting the Best Life for All People. We'll see if, yes, here we go. So if we would have pen and paper handy, take notes and be willing to share what Allah bless you with from out of this wonderful address. We return back to the address, supporting the best life for all people.
As Brother Sultan and Brother Salam had explained, we came about, again, working with the youth because we've seen the need and we've seen all the things that were taking place in our community, and we wanted to change the condition. So we began to do something about it by the grace of Allah. And again, I'm here only by the grace of Allah. And last time that, or the main time when the man first came into office, I was 11 years old. And I was there when he visited Philadelphia. And we have stayed to that path. We have stuck with that direction. We have stuck with that path ever since, and we wouldn't change it for the world. Again, it is such a great pleasure to see so many people, especially the youth. And we thought it was very fitting to bring Imam Muhammad to Martin Luther King High School because last year or 2 years ago, an outbreak had taken place here in the school, and different people had come in to try to defuse the problem and was not successful. By the grace of Allah, we have come into the school, worked with the youth here, defused the problem, and had been invited back by the principal to stay in the school, work with the children, and try to sort of set a direction so that the children will become motivated and know why they were coming into this building. While we were here, we were able to establish the Muslim Student Association here at Martin Luther King High School, and after that, it became the first school, to my knowledge, in the country that had established the Juma prayer every Friday. So, again, it's just a great pleasure, and we have a special person in our presence today, Imam W.D. Muhammad. And last night, those of you who missed the banquet really missed something. It was beautiful. We had a lot of fun. The Imam expressed how much he enjoyed himself. It was a pleasant atmosphere. The pioneers were out and forth. It was like a big family reunion. We had a lot of fun. But I don't want to take up too much time. But again, what I want to say to the people out there, I had the opportunity to go to a Muslim graduation and speak last Friday. And we saw how the children were developing. And as we know, as Muslims, Allah says that He has created the human being in the most excellent of molds, in the best of molds. But as we also know through our studying and through the direction of Imam W.D. Muhammad, that excellence must be worked on, must be cultivated, must be nurtured. Because if it's not worked on, then the excellence doesn't shine in a human being. We really have to work on that. And again, here in the city of Philadelphia, I've been Muslim in this city for 21 years. So I know the direction, I know what's going on, what has been taking place here in the city of Philadelphia. And we've been seeing sort of a slow pace. What we want to do is we want to step that pace up and bring the believers back in the city of Philadelphia to begin to, again, be motivated, begin to move forward on the path that Allah wants us to move on. Our job as Muslims is to be out on the forefront. We have to begin to come out of our masjids and take this here fight back to the street where it belongs. We must begin to change the conditions that we live under, that our youth live under. And if we don't do something about it, the condition will never change. Because as long as we wait for others to come and change our condition, a lot of times what they do is come and take a little bit that we have from us. We, as a people, must move forward to changing our own condition. We must do it for our youth. I was at the graduation, and the children must have been in kindergarten, first grade, second grade, but they must have had about 50 stores of peace under their belt. But the thing is, again, is we have to begin to establish economic empowerment. We have to begin to establish businesses, and we have to be able to create a safe place in our neighborhood so that our children can utilize the Islam that they are taught, so that they can utilize the Islam that they learn in those institutions. And this is very, very important, because if we don't do it, those children that we are raising up will come up, and then they will be faced with double trouble, our problems as well as the ones that they will face anyway. It's up to us to begin to change that, to do something about it. Each and every one of us has a responsibility. As I said in the beginning, Allah says that he has created the human being in the excellence of mold. He has created the human being in the best of mold. He has also expanded the breath so that we can tolerate more. He has also given the human being free will. But although Allah has blessed us with such great favors, he poses the question in the Quran through the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and he asks us, does man think that he will be left uncontrolled? Does man think that he will be left without an aim? Does man think that he will be left without a purpose? And the answer to that question is no. There's no way in the world. Each and every one of us here have a responsibility, first to the Creator, then we have a responsibility to ourselves, and then we have a responsibility to our families. As Allah says in the Quran, save yourself and save your family from the fire. Now, if we just look at that in layman's terms, if there was a fire in one's home, the first thing you would try to do is get out of there. You would try to save yourself. And once you see that you could get out of that fire, you would try to save as many people in that house, as many people in your family as you can. And that is our job. That is what we are facing now here in the cities of America. But more so, as the man came in 75, and he gave the address to remake the world, we want to bring that back about. We want to revitalize that. And we must first start by saving our city. We must first take care of home first. So each and every one of us have a great responsibility to begin to do what it is that we can do in our community. We have to reach out to the non-Muslims as well as the Muslims. We have to come back into the schools. These schools are in our communities. These children that attend the schools are our children. We can't leave them just haphazardly wandering about not knowing the proper direction to take on. We can't allow our children to become comfortable with mediocre, with just doing enough just to get by. These and these, just comfortable with that. We hear the language from Tyler, a child says, well, yeah, I got all these, but I got promoted. That's not enough. That's not the attitude that we want our children to have, because if they take on that attitude, that carries on in every facet of their life, in the social life, in the marriage life, that carries on. And what I'm saying to you today is that we, as believing people, God-fearing people, we have to begin to break that cycle. And this is a special weekend for us all. Again, as I said, the man came into office in 75 and it really has made a great impact on my personal life, because if it wasn't for that, Allah knows where it might have ended up today. But we thank Almighty God Allah. We thank Imam W.D. Muhammad for having enough gumption, for having enough heart to stand up for what was right. As the Prophet did, peace be upon him, as he went into the cave and the angel came to him, and as he came out of that cave, he realized his mission. And he had to now announce that mission to the entire world. And as Muslims, as believers, as followers of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, that responsibility falls on each and every one of us that say we are believers, that say that we follow the Sunnah. But Allah has really blessed us, because we now see Allah's plan taking shape, taking form for the African American here in America. We, most of us that came into Islam when we did, we had to change our name, just as Brother Sufyan said. Name was John, Rob, or the John X, all kinds of different names. And then we had to change them to Arabic names. But Allah has showed us that the works that have been produced, such as people, some people, such as Imam W.D. Muhammad, that Allah's plan is taking great shape, great form here in America. We now see our children born with their Muslim name. We now see them knowing their true cultural identity. We now see them knowing that Islam is the true way of life, knowing their true religion, and also knowing that the sun is not God, that the moon is not God, but that there is only one God, and that God is Allah. And as we see that, the children are blessed to come into Islam, be born into Islam, having their name, their culture, their religion, their true God. And as we travel around the public schools, we now see kindergarten students, their show and tell is not Power Rangers. Their show and tell become Kufis, Quran. They begin to talk about Islam. And when we were in kindergarten, I know myself, we weren't wearing any Kufis in school. We weren't talking about Islam. We weren't saying that Allah was God. But Allah's plan has taken shape. We plan, but Allah planned us. And His plan is the greatest of plans. And our children now are blessed to come into Islam and know the direction, know that there's an aim, there's a purpose, and know that they have a responsibility as human beings here on the law of earth. So without further ado, I, again, never thought that I would be in a position to bring on the Imam. But like I said, Allah's plan is Allah's plan. We plan, and Allah planned. And Allah knew that this would take place even when I was 11 years old. So without further ado, gives me the great honor and pleasure not only to bring on Imam W.D. Muhammad, but to welcome home our Imam, Imam W.D. Muhammad. Check there. Hey.
Thank you. Praise be to Allah. Assalamu alaikum. As peace be on you, we give all praise to God. We say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Praise be to Allah, that is God, the Lord, sustainer of all the worlds.
who witnessed that he is one and one alone, and he witnessed that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed about 1,415 years ago, is the last of the prophets, the seal of the prophets. We salute him with the traditional salute, prayers and the peace be upon him and what follows of that salute to the last prophet. We are thankful to God for our presence here today at this Dr. Martin Luther King Genius High. And we are also very much pleased to see you gathered here and these numbers and the impressive numbers that we see here today. We appreciate the support from around the area, the many imams that have joined us here from the East Coast and also from South and nearby areas, and perhaps some have come from even distant areas. We appreciate your support for this work very much. We have been honored here today, last night and today. It was a big surprise last night. I wasn't expecting all the attention to be on myself. And I did wonder, I said, well, there's 20 years achievement. I'm wondering if that was Philadelphia's way of introducing the theme for the National Convention this September. 20 years of achievement for all of us, not for me, but for all of us. And it was all cleared up once I heard them talking about me coming to Philadelphia around 1959. In fact, I came in 1958. But by 1959, I was a minister for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad here in what was called the Temple of Islam, Temple Number 12, Philadelphia. Temple of the City of Brotherly Love and the Temple of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in this city. We had some tremendous people working with us, and I feel indebted to them even till now. I met several of them, brothers and sisters, the brother and sister that opened a home to me and gave me a place to stay when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad sent me to Philadelphia. Brother Ernest and Sister Annie Pearl. And we certainly thrilled to see them. And today we've received some, I would say, recognition, good recognition, from the mayor's office and from the representatives here, and also from the city council. And we appreciate all of that recognition. We appreciate it and hope that we will live to be more, I would say, deserving of such recognition. We could never have that kind of recognition if we were not sincere and if we were not supporting each other. You know, I never received one such award, one such statement of recognition when I was by myself. It never happened. I only started getting these recognitions after I became a representative of yours. So as your representative, I'm getting all of this attention, and I know it's not to me, but to us. And really, we are getting it around the world. Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, Sudan, many Muslim countries, they have great respect for us. They have prayers for our future, for our success. And they are really encouraging us all the time to keep doing the good things, the wonderful things that we're doing. There are other organizations, too, that I'm associated with. In fact, some I belong to, like the World Conference of Religion and Peace and the World Parliament of Religions and a few others that I'm working with. And they didn't ask for me. I saw them knowing their good works. Well, World Conference of Religion and Peace had a wonderful brother, two wonderful Muslims working with them in their leadership from Pakistan. Inamullah Khan, a very well-known international figure of Pakistan, and brother Vikar Hamdani, also of Pakistan. They were instrumental in getting me to be invited to sessions, meetings that were scheduled by the World Conference of Religion and Peace, Religion and Peace, on Religion and Peace, World Conference of Religion and Peace, the World Conference on Religion and Peace. I would like to say to you that my acquaintance with such world organizations, and among them too are Muslim organizations, like Al-Arata, World Muslim League based in Mecca, who has the new Secretary General now, and Brother Ahmed Ali, and the Muslim World Congress of Pakistan, and other world organizations that I know of. To me, all seem to be in agreement that the world needs religion to come together on what is the purity, the common purity that connects them all together. We all believe in God, a God that reveals to man, and we have a shared belief and a purity. And if we all can come together upon that purity and let the world see us embracing each other and supporting each other in good works and cooperating with each other in good works, we believe that that presence in the eyes of the world, of world religion, Islam, Christianity, Judaism, Buddhism, Hinduism, and others, will definitely have a good effect on the morale of the world people. We believe that it is our obligation too, as religions, to support what is good for all people, no matter whether they are black, brown, yellow, red, or white, no matter what country they came from or what is their nationality, and even no matter what is their religion, that we have an obligation to support what is good for the good life and good future of all people. These organizations are asking for a number of things. They're asking that religions have a role in peacemaking and peace building throughout the world. They're asking that religions join each other and have a real effective role for promoting a new global community of justice, human concern, an ethical world, So we are in support of that. We believe that Islam, along with Christianity and Judaism, asks its following to support a world that is moral, rational, and just, an ethical world, a world that obligates itself, its institutions, its leaders, and all citizens to support what is the best life and the best future for all people. This world has become one living room, so to speak, now. We can watch on television what's happening in Asia, in Africa, in Europe, all around the world. We can see the whole world on television. We can listen to the whole world on television. And they see us, and they hear us. So it seems that the whole world, because of advances, great technological advances, scientific and technological advances, we can see the whole world and sit with the world in a kind of living room. And that's what the world is supposed to be. That's what the earth is supposed to be. It's supposed to be living room, and a living room for all of us, a living room that welcomes all of us into it and cares about all of us. It is hospitable to all of us and recognize our legal right to have a place in that living room and to get the same respect that others get in that living room. This is the world that we are seeing coming into existence. This is a new time, no doubt about it. This is a new time. Anytime the son of Elijah Muhammad can sit with the people that represent these world religious bodies, and they identify the son of Elijah Muhammad's son with them, as one thinking like they think, as one interested in their interests, one sharing their interests, one working for the interests that they identify in. This is a new world. No one would have guessed that Elijah Muhammad's son would be associated with such groups, with such religious, world religious organizations as the World Conference on Religion and Peace and others that we are now associated with and working with. No one would have guessed that. No one would have guessed that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad would be trying to bring peace and cooperation between whites or for whites and blacks in this country. No one would have guessed that. I wouldn't have guessed that. Because I remember a time when I believed wholeheartedly with all my being in the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and what he stood upon. And I stood upon that too. And I never thought, even when I was having some questions or doubts about the concept of God in the Nation of Islam, in the Temple of Islam, I was going uncomfortable with the idea that Farad, W.D. Farad or W.F. Muhammad, Farad Muhammad, was God. I was going a bit uncomfortable with that. But I didn't think it was going to take me to where I am. No. I never thought that I would be preaching to African American people that a white man is just like you. I didn't think that. I thought there was no human being like a white man. But all that has changed. We thank Allah for that. And we know why it has changed. It has changed, firstly, because we were sincere. We were trying to obey God. We were trying to do what God wanted. We were sincere. But it wouldn't have been possible if we did not have in our midst, in our possession, the holy book of a billion or more Muslims on this planet. The Quran, as the Western has put out it. If we had not that book in our possession, it could not have happened. We didn't come from the belief that we were given in the Temple of Islam to any belief except the belief in God, whose name is Allah in the Muslim circles. And to a belief in the holy book that was revealed by God to Muhammad, the prophet of Arabia, the Quran, and to identify with the international body, our ummah of Muslims on this earth. That's where we came. We came to that position. And it was the Quran that made that possible for us. And we thank Allah for the experiences, the good and the bad, the blessings and the curses. We thank Allah for it because it has certainly made us a very special people. And I want you to know that you who identify with us, who share our beliefs, and who number yourself in this association of Muslims that I am a spokesman for, you are a very special people. You're no ordinary people. And you're going to continue to do wonderful things. And the future is much bigger than the present. And the present is already big. That's no doubt. We have concerns that we must address as Muslims and as conscious human beings. Violence, insane violence, self-destruction, drugs, drug abuse, drug traffic, a whole new economy supported by drugs and crime. We have to be aware of these problems, these serious problems, and we have to be in support of the good efforts by all good people to address these problems and remove the burden of these evils on the world, on society, on citizens, on institutions, on nations. We have to be with those who are fighting against the growth and spread of senseless violence, drug abuse, and also racism. Although, in my opinion, racism is not the issue it used to be. Today, racism is used to take attention away from other problems. The extremists on both sides use racism to take attention away from other problems. Those who call themselves whites are the European American people, the whites of the world, the blacks, African Americans, and the blacks of the world in Africa and everywhere, who are trying to keep the issue of racism alive and trying to lift it up or point to it as the real problem for man today. They are guilty of using racism to take attention away from other problems. Racism is a problem when it gets support from the law. Once racism has no support from the law, it ceases to be a problem of the gravity that it once was. Once laws change, the majority of the people, the decent people, they change. Law is powerful. Law has credit. Law has powerful credit. Law has respect. Law has powerful respect. So when a law is defending something, innocent people don't question the thing. Innocent people will accept whatever the law defends. Until they begin to think independently of on their own, until they have leaders to speak out against it, special people, not the majority of people, it's always a small number of people that go against what is standard or what is accepted practices. Very few people will question it. I don't want to offend anybody or hurt anyone's feelings, so I won't force a certain thing. But there are certain things that we are believing and going along with right now in our life that make no sense at all. Make no sense at all. Why are we supporting these things and going along with these things? Because it has become standard practice. You were born in that particular environment
where that was supported. You don't do nothing else. You've always known that and accepted that from the time when you first began to see and hear and speak. So you don't question those things unless something provokes you, unless something provokes your mind, shock your mind, to wake up and see that a thing is false, or a thing is unreal, or a thing should not be existing in the society or in the language or conscience of the people. And usually, as I said, it's only a few people that are shocked, that are provoked by these things and come to know that these things are unreal and are evils, are punishment on society, and begin to lead a movement to change or to bring about change. We have an obligation as Muslims to denounce terrorism that makes the innocent victims a means of bringing attention to their cause or attention to their problem. This is crime, it's criminal, and we, along with other Muslim leaders in the world, take a strong stand against this. We denounce it as un-Islamic and as not befitting civilized people in society. It's savage, and we cannot support it or ignore it, because those who are charged with it are called Muslims and maybe even be meaning well, maybe having good intentions, but they have allowed their hurt, their suffering, their misery to confuse their senses, drunken their sensory senses, deny them the conditions where they can think and reason and be rational, but have made them drunk in mind out of desperation to have attention to their cause and attention to their complaints.
Okay, alhamdulillah. We pause now for some important public service announcements. I ask you, don't touch the dial. We'll be back in a while, God willing, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum. This is your brother, Kareem Hamid, inviting you to join in the study group of the lecture of Imam Warisuddin Muhammad Rahimallah Alayhi, broadcast Saturday morning at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time here on American Muslim 360. The first hour, we shall play a lecture or address from Imam Warisuddin Muhammad Rahimallah Alayhi, and in the second hour, we shall open up the telephone line and share with each other the various beneficial points of interest contained in the lecture or address. So join the study group of the lectures of Imam Warisuddin Muhammad Rahimallah Alayhi on the evolution of revolutionary thought and created purpose every Saturday at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time on American Muslim 360. Let's share. Thank you. Alhamdulillah.
With Allah's name, most merciful benefactor, most merciful redeemer, we are grateful to announce that during the month of Ramadan, here on American Muslim 360, yours truly, Kareem Hamid and Michael Hameen, shall share the Ramadan sessions of Imam Warisuddin Muhammad, Sunday evenings from 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time, here on American Muslim 360 Radio. We look forward to your presence pre-Ramadan Mubarak.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Latifa A. Hamid, CEO for AM360. I would like to extend Ramadan Mubarak to all Muslims. As we approach Ramadan, let us be mindful that this is a month that is dedicated only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ramadan quotes by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the month of Ramadan arrives, the door of mercy is open. Fasting is a shield that will protect you from the hellfire and prevent you from sin. Ramadan is the month whose beginning is mercy, whose middle is forgiveness, and whose end is freedom from hellfire. Every action a son of Adam does shall be multiplied. A good action by 10 times its value, up to 700 times. Allah says, with the exception of fasting, which belongs to me, and I reward it accordingly. For one abandons his desire and food for my sake. There are two occasions of joy for the fasting person. One when he breaks his fast, and the other when he meets his Lord. And bad breath of the fasting person is better in the sight of Allah than the fragrance of musk. O Allah, we seek you, your help, and we ask you for faith that doesn't fade, blessings that do not deplete, and the company of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the highest level of your paradise. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, and Ramadan Mubarak.
Alhamdulillah, and we are back. You're listening to The Evolution of Revolutionary Thought and Creative Purpose on American Muslim 360, an intelligentsia component of the community-wide Shura Conference. We have shared the opening of an address entitled Supporting the Best Life for All People. And I was taking notes as the imam was speaking, and he made a very important point concerning present times versus our past, and the importance of law, the importance of law that have been written in law books, and that most people respect the law. And we know that there were laws written that was against our liberation as a people. There were what we call Jim Crow laws. The law supported inequality. It was written into law, the inequality concerning our treatment in this country. It was legally supported. We know that slavery was wrong, but it was legal. It was not criminal. Well, excuse me. Well, that has changed due to the law. It is illegal now to hold someone against their will and to exploit their labor. The law has changed. And if the law functions in the proper, if the law, praise be to Allah, if the law follows the law, then we receive some, some support for our lives. But if the law is still separate but equal, if the law is still, it was illegal at one time to marry outside of your race. That was a law. it was illegal to live in certain areas of this country. That was a law. They had sundown towns. Sundown towns were a town that had written into law that all African Americans must be absent from that town at the beginning of sundown. That was law. Well, those laws no longer exist. And what we want is an ethical society. And the imam gave an identification of ethical, of an ethical world. First, it has to be moral. It must be moral. It must embrace what is right and prohibit what is wrong. Then next, rational. Rational. It should be a society that uses their intellect and their thinking to come to logical, rational conclusions. That it must make sense, and it must be rational. It just cannot be an emotional platform. It must be intelligent. It must make sense. So we have to be moral, rational, and use our intelligent reasoning. Use our intelligent reasoning, and it has to be just. Justice. Justice must be enacted in an ethical society. So an ethical society must contain morals, rational thought, and justice. I'll stop right there. If there's any of you that would like to share, I ask you to press one on your phone. I will unmute your mic based upon what we have said thus far. Also, the imam mentions that sometimes racism is used as an excuse for ignoring other problems, for ignoring other problems. We are just related to race, while ignoring the undercurrent cause of the injustice or the infraction that we see or we experience. That sometimes we just say, well, they're just racist. That's just how it is. They're just racist. But you're ignoring other factors that can be utilized or neglected. Yeah, neglected. Personal responsibility. Personal responsibility. You have not, because you are not seeking to acquire what you don't have, and we just attribute the condition to racism, while neglecting the responsibility that comes along with freedom. Okay, I see we have a caller on the line. Eric 727-741. Please state your name and where you're calling from, please.
Hi, my name is Martha Nyla.
All right. Good to hear you.
Thank you. Likewise, praise be to Allah. Yes. Wow, so much is stirring in me. And, you know, I'm calling from St. Petersburg / Clearwater, Florida, everyone. Thankful that we mentioned that because historically, you know, every day we're making history. And I say that because of community-wide share conference and definitely American Muslim 360. So thank you, Imam, for being a current part of history and the presentation that Allah SWT blessed you to share with us this morning, coming out of Philadelphia with Imam and the one that spoke before, was that Brother Rashad? I didn't catch his name. That was
That wasn't the Rashad that you're thinking of.
Okay.
I don't think so. No,
okay.
This was
He was very, very, very connected. Very connected. And praise be to Allah for our listening, hearing, amen. And as he was speaking, what I began to do was journal with a definite purpose. And that is because everyone now, perhaps, who's listening by way of AM 360, know that we've been asking, we, meaning CWSC, has been asking the question, what does being human mean to you? And for 2 years, January 2021 to January this year, we had entered into discussions every second Saturday, missing a couple here or there, but every second Saturday, with the intent to get an overview of where do we go from here. And I know we all have our interpersonal or personal ways of dealing with our lives, and I'm speaking directly to our condition, the conditions that that we have available to us to be better, to improve our conditions. And as we speak time, we're saying what we need to do, what we need to do. And at some point, it's much like when I used to knit, and I tell you, everyone, I did not know how to, I purled, you know, doing the knitting, but I didn't know how to tie it off. But you see completed fashions with knitting, and you have to tie something off and start anew or complete connected. So I'm doing that sharing today based on Imam's sharing. I have begun to say hospitality is the etiquette of humanity. And when I heard Imam mention hospitable and an ethical society and that we have to have a global justice, then we're often asking ourselves, what can I do? And we may think of our individual selves having menial reference or importance to the whole matter of the human life. So we're beginning, you can look forward to, in the Muslim Journal, and I know many have been waiting for this, what's going to be the tie-off for the 50-year Human Family Strategic Planning Initiative. And we'll begin in this manner, and it will be consulting with others as we can amend it as we go along, but we have to start somewhere with supplying supplication of thoughts and what we term it to be as a tie-off. And I'm speaking in reference to, again, what does being human mean to you? We come away with, number one, and Imam, if you don't mind, I'll take just a couple of minutes to share a little more. Faith in the One Almighty is a given. Two, a belief system that supports the human connection with the Creator and its being a part of creation. And three, begin to write out a plan every day. Four, be specific on the current qualities of self. And that is when we say who, what, when, where, and why, or how am I, being sincere with self. And then five, read a daily spiritual word, as Imam mentioned about the family, the human family, and specifically to Al-Islam, Christianity, and Judaism. And to, in accordance with that, reading the word, Al-Quran, Injil, or the Bible, and the Torah, and other inspiring words. Be knowledgeable of the world we live in locally using the map of our area, which brings us to really give some identity with who or where or what we are. And seven, study the global map of development and ask the question, what do I like to do? And then enhance it by becoming the best at it. And nine, encourage self to be the best and to do your best. And 10, join CWSC, a community-wide share conference, and tune in to AM 360. And we'll continue from there with more specifics, inshallah. That's the first presentation, inshallah. Maybe some amendments along the way with any recommendations from others. But that will be the first entry into the Muslim Journal, inshallah.
Thank you, Ma. Praise be to Allah. Yes, good question. What does it mean to be human? And it is a work in progress, praise be to Allah. The 50-year human family plan. And the Imam made a very profound statement in relationship to how we impress others. That when we cooperate with each other, and that is observed, then the good people observing are working with each other, that strengthens them in their goodness to see us cooperating with each other for all that is good. Praise be to Allah. So that cooperation is very important when people observe you. In many fields, let me say this, in many fields, Allah says that to each there is a direction that he points us toward. There are certain proclivities that we have, certain strengths, certain interests that we have that are varying. But the overall purpose of whatever we are involved in is to bring out the good from out of whatever subject matter, whatever occupation, whatever we are into. And there is a cooperation in that. Those that are interested in help, praise be to Allah. We have many Muslims and many well-meaning of people that are collaborate with each other to bring about the best health procedures for human beings. They cooperate in a collaborative effort. And here at America Muslim 360, we are reaching out to collaborate with other institutions, with other platforms, that we work in a collaborative effort to bring about a moral, rational, and just society. And by that being observed, that strengthens other people on the earth when they observe that cooperation, that strengthens them in their cause to bring about a moral, ethical, and just society. So it is very important that we cooperate with each other for all that is good. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. Thank you, Martha. Also, I expect a phone call from me.
Okay, I can imagine everyone who's listening. This is like a tap on your hand kind of thing, because we're all
right.
Hosts, right? Ready, ma'am?
That's right.
That's right. So we all stand to be accused.
That's right. Praise be to Allah.
Alhamdulillah. So I look forward to it. Thank you, Amen.
And we are grateful for everyone's successful return from Barbados, from the celebration of a time to be grateful in collaboration with Muslim Journal. That is a wonderful statement, that is cooperating with each other. Praise be to Allah.
We intend to make a real effort to share with everyone, to have you really, truly feel a part of what's definitely there in spirit with us. We knew we were on a mission, and we will continue that mission to be in service to Almighty God by being in service to humanity. So that is our mission, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah. All right. Thank you, Martha.
Thank you. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Praise be to Allah. Is there anyone else that would like to share based upon what we have broadcast thus far this morning? I ask you to press one on your phone. I will open up your mic. Praise be to Allah. Okay. We shall return back to the address entitled Supporting the Best Life for All People.
Hello.
I'm saying that while we have compassion on such people that are driven to such desperation, we strongly condemn their acts that kill, maim, and destroy life and property of the innocent.
The Imam is addressing the act of terrorism.
Drugs and the dependency on drugs, very, very burdensome evil on us and on our society. Many homes have been hurt by it. Many families have lost members because of it. Lost them from their home, lost them to prison, and lost them to the grave because of it. So this is something that the world cannot go on living with. We have to have more and more imams, like the imams of Philadelphia and other cities, who will stand up and challenge the drug dealers and the drug traffic and bring them to yield to their pressures, their righteous pressures, and move out of their neighborhoods. See, anyone doing these things, they know they're not in the right. They know they're in the wrong. And all you need to do is just be strong in your life position and don't be nervous or be weak in your life position. And the nature of wrong people is still human. Though we don't see any sign of the human nature anymore, the human being, if he's human, that nature is there. And if you take a stand strong enough, you will get some respect from wrongdoing people, especially when they know they're dead wrong, that they're extremely wrong. When they know that, they will yield to enough pressure if you're prepared to be courageous enough, determined enough, to stand up against them and not waver. You can't waver. We are living in a world that is growing more and more burdensome. Families didn't have much to worry about. I remember my mother. She would work hard, but she didn't have that much help. She had 8 children. Most of us were at home when I was a boy. In fact, I remember all of us were at home. And she wanted us to go to school. She cared about us, so she worked all day long until night, till she went to bed, washing our clothes, cleaning the house. And when we didn't have homework or something, she was giving us chores to do. And that was her life, but she managed it. She had 8 children. I doubt if there was more than 3 pair of socks for each child. Now if you got 8 children, you got about 800 pair of socks. Not to mention the other articles of clothing that you have to wash. So really you need a laundry. If you've got a big family, you need a laundry just to take care of the clothes. And just matching up the socks will drive you insane. Too many socks. Too many different colors. So life is just too burdensome. That's just one area I'm talking about. One area. Just taking care of the house, the children's clothes, cleaning the house, just that. It's too much. much too much to be on one person. And then there's television to take your attention off your job, your work. And somebody comes in and hollers, thought you didn't get your work done. And you just got too much to get done. You can't get it done in one day. That's life. In modern America, in present-day America, that's life. And everything asking for your attention, the children asking for your attention, and everything else is asking for your attention. You just don't have enough time or enough of you to give to all the things that are demanding your attention. Yes. So this burden is on you. And then here's the world outside that's pulling on your children, telling your children to come on out in the world, come on out in the street, do your own thing, think for yourself, don't listen to anybody, don't obey anybody. You have a mind of your own. You make decisions for yourself. That's what the world is telling them. Not only the world outside the streets is telling them that, but too often television programs are telling them that. And movies, Hollywood movies, are telling them that. And the streets seem to be picking it up, and oftentimes from television, irresponsible television programs and movies that should be condemned. And they are being condemned. There's senators in the north and in the south, congressmen.
Slight pause in this tape, it shall restart in a few moments.
And irresponsible sex. We know these problems exist, and we know that many of our group leaders are speaking out against these things. We should know this, that this world has long so that everybody now must exercise more intelligence and more responsibility for self and for those things in your charge. Islam prepares us to be an authority under God and to be accountable for our treatment of our own self and for our treatment of our loved ones, our relatives and loved ones and neighbors and all, and for our treatment of our belongings. This is Islam. Islam holds us even accountable for the treatment of our properties, our belongings. We're not to abuse ourselves. God tells us through Muhammad the prophet that in the judgment, the members of our own physical body will complain to God that we used our hands wrongly, that we used our eyes wrongly, that we used our voice, tongue wrongly, that we used our feet wrongly. So we have to be responsible for the members in our physical body. The hand is mouth to rule us. God created the hand to be ruled by us inside the body, by the people inside the body. We have to rule these hands, we have to rule these eyes, we have to rule the tongue, we have to rule the feet. We have to rule the whole physical life. The life inside is supposed to rule the life outside. The content is supposed to rule and make decisions for the container. And the world needs us to be aware that the Creator created this container to be in our charge, not for us to be in its charge. Whenever your members of your body, the organs, the eyes, the ears, whatever, the hands, the feet, the sexual organs, whenever they do a wrong thing, it's not their fault. It's the fault of the intelligent, rational, supposed to be moral person inside that body. That body is no more than biological flesh, biological material. It's no more than that. It has a behavior that it has inherited. And when it comes here from the womb of our mothers, it is not a dope addict unless we doped it in the womb. It's not an alcoholic unless we gave it alcohol or whatever it was in the womb. It's not a criminal. Isn't that wonderful? We can affect it with drugs in the womb. But we can't make it a criminal in the womb. It's not a criminal. So when it come out, if we give it the right kind of environment, it can overcome drugs. It can overcome whatever defects it has. It can come here with one leg and no arm. If it gets the right environment, it can be proud of itself. It can enjoy a full life. It can enjoy a rewarding life. We know there have been handicapped people, handicapped even more than that, having no arms, no legs, who have been given an environment that made them produce for themselves and be proud of themselves, and they became contributors, great contributors, to the good world and progress of their society. This happens. It is that wonderful person, that invisible person inside the visible body, that has to accept responsibility for what this visible body does. And we should see our visible body as our best friend, our companion, ready to serve us to no end. In fact, this body is a better friend than most of our friends. You start to do some wrong that's going to hurt you, the body will give you a warning. Now, if you continue to do it over and over again, the body gets tired. The body says it's useless. It's useless to warn this person that God has assigned me to. But there are some friends that they won't give you the warning. They see you doing something that they know is going to destroy you down the road. They won't say a thing. They'll join you in it. Yeah, go and have some fun. What I'm saying is that God created a wonderful support, marvelous support, the greatest computer, and there never will be another one like this human body, and gave it to us in our charge. There's not another creature, nor another invention, nor any invention of man to equal and worth this body that Allah gave us to be our companion, our medium for expression, etc.
All right. On that note, I want to share with you some information that have reached us concerning AI, artificial intelligence. Through technology, engineering, and of course math and science. The scientists have come up with, I would call it a robot, kind of a robot-like decisions, and it seems like it's making decisions on its own, and there's a great concern about that. Versus the apparatus and the functioning of us as human beings that have feelings, that have emotions, have a sense of right or wrong, have a moral character, there is a greater alarm that is being expressed about this artificial intelligence. The operative word is, it is artificial. It is not original. It is an artificial intellect. We have been, whether we realize it or not, the world has been operating under artificial intelligence for a long time. For a long time. When given improper knowledge as to how to think, how to function, and how to feel. The knowledge was artificial. It was not from the original. It was not knowledge from the creator himself that should be guiding the lives of human beings. It is men and women that come up with artificial intellectual constructs to shape the thinking and the behavior of human beings. So I see we have a caller on the line at this time. I want to open up the phone number of 334-419. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the Evolution of Revolutionary Thought and Creative Purpose. Please state your name and where you're calling.
Alaikum assalam, Imam Michael Hameen, Jacksonville, Florida. And this presentation, it really has my attention in terms of my particular interest about human psychology. And I was directed to a couple of books, one entitled The Science of Evil. Now, that's a very powerful title. But what the author is focusing on, how human beings can become cruel, savage even, you know, and exceed the limits of decency in respect to other human beings. The other book, The Sociopath Next Door by Martha Stout, it points to the similar focus, empathy. Empathy is the ability to see ourselves and others in the same focus in terms of being in the family of humanity, instead of objectifying a person and not seeing them as having similar connected traits, that God-given traits that they have. And my mind went right away, lastly, my mind went right away to Iblis. Iblis could not identify with our father Adam. And he went right away, based upon not God's knowledge, inspiration, or insight, the use of his intelligence, to ask the one who was creating Adam about Adam. He made a judgment. It doesn't tell us what kind of information, although there are some I don't know what you would call it. There's some stories, Islamic stories, about the creation of Adam and you know, it being interrupted. And I don't know whether we can depend on that. But what we have on the pages is that Iblis identified himself as being better. And he gave the description. This one is made from the earth, from mud, and I'm made from fire, you know, free of smoke. So I just stopped there. I just thought that, you know, Imam has really directed us into Islamic psychology, so to speak, you know, or the Quran and Prophet Muhammad's human example, directing us into how Allah has created us, how he has fashioned and shaped us internally, our humanity, those things that give us the ability to pursue excellence, and those things that are degrading and bring us to the lowest of the low. Thank you, Imam, for letting me share that.
Yes. Thank you, Michael, for your excellent sharing. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. Yes. You know, we use this language. Follow the logic to the rational conclusion. There is somewhat of a downside to that. If we just utilize the logic and the conclusions, the intellectual conclusion, rational thought, if we just use that alone, then we are in trouble.
I agree.
Yes. Iblis described himself as rational, as knowledge. He described himself as one that was created from fire, which gives off no smoke. And we know the properties of fire. It reduces a thing down to its base element. I would say fire is synonymous to science, to science and intellectual thought. But now, paraphrasing Iblis, you've made this moral man.
That's interesting. You've made this, yes.
Yes. And I believe that I should rule just pure knowledge and pure intellect and pure logic, divorced from a sense of right and wrong, divorced from having a conscience as to how we move intellectually and reach logical conclusions that may not be the best situation for human beings, because as you stated earlier, and I'm thankful that you stated that Adam was made from the dust of the from clay, and Iblis was made from fire. He has no conscience. They're giving off no smoke. He has no conscience. It just makes rational sense to me to depopulate the population on this earth. I see we believe that the resources are limited. So we've come to the conclusion to get rid of as many humans so that we can continue to enjoy the sustenance that the earth provides. Now, that sounds rational. That sounds logical. But there isn't a sense of feeling, a sense of the bad consequences of removing people from out of the family of man. So that's, when we say follow the logic, follow the knowledge to the logical conclusion, but let us preface that with moral logical conclusions, not
Andy
just a
Bell.
Logical conclusion. Yes, sir.
We've heard a lot about this lacking, there not being enough resources and so forth, and we're overpopulation, lack of resources. That's from a soul that was developed in circumstances of struggle and lack. The soul of the people of the more generous areas of the earth, like Africa, for instance, you know, there's so much abundance, you know, and so we've allowed a philosophy that came out of a soul that developed in lacking and wanting of physical resources, of sunshine and the like. And so it has shaped a philosophy that's harmful not only to them but to the world. You know, this idea. And similarly, God tells us in the Quran, the last revelation, he invites us to use up the resources. Because, you know, in my opinion, this is how I'm looking at it. As we begin to use up the resources, the wise among us are going to say, well, we have to pay attention to, you know, like the scientists, we have to pay attention to how these resources are being managed because, you know, it can be harmful if we don't manage it properly. You know, we can hurt ourselves. So, and obviously the kind of philosophy that has taken place in America where you're paying farmers subsidies for not growing stuff, you know, and the like. You know, the philosophy is all wrong. And, directing our souls towards the scripture, particularly the last revelation of God, from God, would be most beneficial. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. Yes, we see whereby there is a controlled manipulation of resources. The powers that be will pay the producers to not produce at a certain level. That is based upon, to me, that is based upon pricing. If you limit the production, then the value of that which is produced raises because of scarcity. Those are price controls, you know. That is to squeeze and get as much from out of the human being as possible with no conscience, no afterthought, no sense of the pain of restricting the resources to human beings. Praise be to Allah. So we want a moral and ethical society. There is, and you're correct, Allah challenges the human being. He challenges us. Try to use up all the resources of the earth. Try to exhaust it. You will fail. The earth itself is a reproductive organ. The earth, the creation is a reproductive organ. It reproduces what comes from out of it. And there's enough for everyone. There is enough for everyone. Allah would not have placed us on the earth if he had not put inside of the earth that which will sustain us. He is called Rabb, the nourisher, the nurturer, the one that brings a thing from its infancy to its full potential. So Allah placed us on the earth, and there's enough here to maintain what Allah has created us as human beings. So there is enough if we are willing to share. You know, we mentioned neighborly need. Imam Muhammad took that to a higher level He spoke to nations that another nation is your neighbor, is your neighbor. And you should treat those nations as such, meeting neighborly needs. If we have resources that are abundant and other nations are lacking in that resource, we should be willing to share equitably with other nations. Most of these wars that are being, that have been fought, is based upon the natural resources to come and utilize or take the natural resources produced in one nation to take control of it. So most wars are financially based. The natural gas that is produced in Ukraine is a very, very valuable resource. And the desire to control that, the natural gas is abundant. We need to look at that as we are funding the war effort between Russia and Ukraine. We are witnessing not just Ukraine, but in other nations that we bomb indiscriminately citizens of a nation. And there seems to be no remorse, no sense of conscience. The conscience does not come in to play, for we are going after the resource. And we shall control it. So anyway, praise be to Allah. If there is anyone else that would like to add some commentary to what we've shared thus far, we are presenting an address entitled Supporting the Best Life for All People, for all people, for everyone. Okay, we shall return back to the address, Supporting the Best Life for All People. We have to be willing to share.
And we should grow to respect it more and have a secret respect for it, where we will be hurt to our heart core, hurt in the depths of our soul, to think of poisoning it, confusing its operation with drugs, or bringing it into senseless violence, where it'll be maimed, a limb will be cut off, an eye will be knocked out.
The Imam is expressing the responsibility that we have for our physical bodies.
Or maybe their body killed because of silly foolishness, engaging silly foolishness, or acting upon crazy emotions with no sense and no sanity, no respect, no remembrance, no thankfulness to God for this wonderful body, this wonderful companion, this wonderful machine, marvelous machine that God gave you, so that you will have understandable existence and communication and presence, visibility and expression in a world with other invisible bodies. Isn't it wonderful? We are all invisible bodies inside our visible bodies. But look, if we didn't have these visible bodies, I wouldn't have a medium to reach you with. I wouldn't be able to feel you inside the body. But because you have these bodies, I hear you and I can feel you inside of the body. Your voice will tell brain to me, communicate to me what you're feeling inside your body, what you're feeling in your heart, what you're feeling in your soul, what you're feeling in your mind, in the abstract body, all can be communicated to me because you have the concrete body, the flesh body, material body. So we've given these bodies so that we may know each other and communicate with each other and help each other and work with each other and cooperate with each other. Without it, we don't have any existence in this world. Without it, we have no existence in this world. This is the respect that we want for the human body. And it will come. It will come because there's a lot of health in the world and the leadership of the world to bring that about now. And God has brought our attention, the misery, the neglect, and the lives of the poor people, brought our problems and our misery to the attention of those on high. Our problem has grown to become so big that it affects, well, it's no longer our problem. It's the problem now of everybody. You know, I remember the time when drug abuse was thought to be a African-American, colored people's problem. But no more. In fact, I remember the time when gang wars and senseless killings was mostly thought to be a problem for the poor blacks or some other poor white trash, they would call them, poor white trash or poor crazy Mexicans or Spanish people. You know, it was restricted to at least a level of intelligence. But now you have it organized by persons that are not poor materially and are not poor when it comes to their intelligence. Very intelligent men, and men who have money, but organized youngsters to be violent, to have gangs, to be enemies of each other, etc. Now, you know what they say, they're saying now, that really the gangs are not the big problem. The big problem is those that imitate the gangs. Well, I don't know how much truth there is to that. I know those who form the gangs like in Chicago, the Blackstone Rangers, the Vice Lords and others, they have to accept responsibility for those who are imitating them.
Okay, we pause once again to see if any of you have any statements to make concerning the subject matter this morning. Praise be to Allah. The proliferation of drugs, and the Imam is correct, at one time that was just seen as a problem for, for people identified as minorities or people of color, But now we see that this is a global problem now. International drug trafficking. And there are very powerful people that are orchestrating and facilitating the international drug trade. Now we are hearing in this country the opioid epidemic, the fentanyl epidemic, and it is affecting every community in this country, be you white. I'll use color classification just for further identification. Whether it's African American or so-called blacks, whether it's Asians or so-called yellow people, or whether it is Caucasians, so-called white people. This drug trafficking is demoralizing and taking the lives of human beings, period. So that now, and these, no one can finance, let me say this, no one individual finance the transport of poppies from Afghanistan into Europe. The poppy is the plant that produces heroin and opioids. There is a global organization that is overseeing the trafficking of drugs into Europe and into the insatiable appetite of the American public for drugs. This is an organized effort. This is no one little brother standing on a corner somewhere selling drugs from out of his pocket. I'm talking about drugs sold at shiploads level, cargo level. So now this problem is no longer seen as just a minority problem. It is now all over the earth, the drug trafficking. I see we have a caller on the line, air code 850-264. Please state your name and where you're calling from, please.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Rabbani Muhammad, Tallahassee, Florida.
Alaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah. How are you, brother, this morning?
I'm fine. And yourself?
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. You know, I have been meaning to speak on the connection between drugs and the detrimental effects that it has on our youth. But as I was thinking, that's a secular problem. But the problem is not secular, but what causes the appetite? What causes you to want to have a drug to drown out something or to make you relief from something? That is the soul. The soul is punishing you. It's punishing you, and you're trying to find a way to ease the pain or the misery or the uncomfortable feeling that you have. So people seek out these different types of drugs, like weed. You know, mostly that's a popular thing among the lower. It's becoming more popular because of the advent of its marketing. That's going on, has been going on for the last 30 or 40 years of legalizing marijuana and coming at it as a municipal product. But no, it is the soul that is not that's rebelling against its own self. And what happens is you cannot get that peace. It is the peace that is built into your nature, that God has placed in your makeup, and you are not responding to Almighty God's directions and effort to grow you in the best manner. So you're rebelling against your own self. Now you're trying to find out, how do I relief? So what people have done is they've developed a market. Now the drug dealer will be broke for me, because he can never get any money from me or you or people of who have knowledge and fear God. They go broke. So the idea is that the drug is used to try to quell the urge in the human being to want peace in their soul. So I'll leave it like that. Okay?
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. You're right on point, Professor Rabbani. Yes, praise be to Allah. And I'm grateful that you mentioned the soul. Allah originated the soul, and he has placed within the soul the desire for peace, tranquility, a paradise that Almighty God created the soul in. It was called heaven, or paradise, a place of peace. But then the deceiver comes with an artificial, praise be to Allah, an artificial way of thinking, an artificial way of thought, feeding the human mind with lies and falsehood, with lies and falsehood. And it troubles the soul. And the soul desires peace. But because the intellect has been given a false sense of self and a false sense of reality, it seeks peace also. And it looks for peace outside of itself instead of inside. And here are people that are able to manipulate pharmaceuticals to give you a false sense of that peace that our souls long for. But it is our thinking, the lies we have been told about reality and the reality of ourselves, and there's a hunger for peace. But with the artificial manipulation of drugs, that peace is short-lived. It is short-lived. They don't tell you the other side of it, that you become dependent, very desperate, very despondent in seeking to relieve the peace that your soul desires. And you become addicted to this artificial substance. And this is happening globally. Praise be to Allah. It is happening globally. The world is in trouble from artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence. God says one thing, and the manipulators say another. They rationalize, praise be to Allah, they rationalize. When we say rational, that rational must be connected with a moral guidance. Praise be to Allah. So I thank you, Professor Rabbani, and you are well traveled, and praise be to Allah. We are grateful for your connection with the motherland that we commonly call Africa, and your relationship with the country of Ethiopia and other countries on our continent, and you report wonderful news back to us concerning what is occurring on the continent of Africa. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. Yes. Thank you, my brother.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Oh, and let me share with the listening audience that Professor Rabbani is part of the broadcast that follows this broadcast, Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty. Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty. And we invite you to tune into America Muslim 360 after this broadcast, Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty, hosted by Imam D. Lacey Omar and a recurring special guest, Professor Rabbani. Praise be to Allah.
Okay.
Thank you, my brother. We look forward to your sharing with us. Praise be to Allah. Okay, is there anyone else that would like to make commentary on the address that the Imam has given? supporting the best life for all people, not just the black, not just the white, not just the Asian or whatever, but for all people, an ethical and just society. Praise be to Allah. So these things that we, as a matter of fact, I return back to the imam mentioning that racism is charged to almost every situation. It allows us to continue to neglect what we are neglecting. Well, we don't have businesses in our racism. Well, we have decrepit housing, racism. Well, we are not represented. We only have 2% of the business ownership in the richest nation on racism. We are neglected. We are not giving attention to our own neglect. There are no longer laws on the books prohibiting us from acting within the law to live out our potential. Racism, now, I'm not saying that racism is not real. It is real. But it can only function if we neglect to put into operation the potential and the energy that Almighty God has placed in every human being. We are free to do that now. I don't care what the opposition is. We ourselves have the wherewithal to supply what we need as human beings. It's not always race. It's not. It is our benign neglect. Benign neglect to attend to our affairs, to attend to our life. We have employed others. We have employed others to attend to us like we are children, like we are babies. We act as if we are wards of the state. But Allah has placed within every human being the potential to make progress. But we neglect our own soul. We neglect the yearning of our own soul to do for self and be willing to cooperate with each other. I can say one thing. A Nation of Islam was a demonstration of African-American people cooperating with each other in the establishment of businesses and other institutions. That impressed the world. That here are a people cooperating with each other to bring dignity to themselves. There's a sense of cooperation, and the world took note of that. We have to be willing to cooperate with each other and not charge everything to racism, but figure out why are we neglecting to do for ourselves like others do for themselves. It is not always racism. It is neglecting the primary subject matter. That's a point that the imam mentioned. It is neglect. And that's where my mind went to, neglecting the responsibility of our own self. Praise be to Allah. Also, the imam mentioned how we are blessed to have this body that serves us. It serves us. How can I say, that is how we're able to express ourselves and to operate in a material environment, a material reality. We owe a debt to our bodies. We have to take care of that, of the container which contains our spirit and our soul. We have to take care of it. You name it. Whatever properties our body have been placed under the charge of the container. No, pardon me. Yeah, yes, of the inner content of our bodies. They are entrusted to us, responsibility. So I'll stop right there. Praise be to Allah. Is there anyone else that would like to make commentary on the address that we are presenting this morning, supporting the best life for all people? We return back to the address. I hope we can complete it, inshallah. I think we have enough time. So I bring you now the voice of Imam Waqifuddin Muhammad, supporting the life, the best life for all people.
If they have gotten to be more civilized or more conscious as citizens, then they shouldn't go on not feeling obligated to remove their mess from the society. And those that are imitating them is their mess. I think it's just another deception, another stage in the deceit of crime and violence to produce an offspring to do the work that gets them in most trouble. And while they sit back, you know, that's sophistication for criminal activities. That's all it is, sophistication for criminal activities. They're not really gang members that are killing each other, drive-by shootings. Gang members wouldn't do that. Well, when did that occur? Just recently. We were charging that to gangs. So if you're not guilty of that, then why don't you use your power, your influence, to correct that behavior in those youngsters who are imitating you? Now, you may say, well, Brother Imam, you can't expect anything from these youngsters. They're teenagers. They're wild and crazy. Let me tell you something. There's no big gang that doesn't have grown men. But Islam wants us to be righteous? Yes. Does Islam want us to be faithful? Yes. Does Islam want us to be one with all humanity or with all people? Yes. We can go on. Islam wants all of these beautiful things that we already know about Islam. But there are some things that Islam wants for us that I don't think we are aware of enough. Or if we are aware enough of these things, we don't understand the urgency at this particular time. This is the time that we're existing in now, when we need more than ever before the whole religion. The whole religion. Our religion is special in terms of what it is because it says to us it is whole religion. W-H-O-L-E. Complete religion. It is complete religion. God says, this day I have completed for you your religion. Completed for you your religion. Exactly what is that talking about? It is saying to us that God never intended that people have only a spiritual relationship in religion. God never intended that people go out from the world to find peace. God intended that people have a whole religion, that they have more than just a spiritual dimension to their religion or to their lives, and that they not find peace outside of their spiritual body, but find peace in the world with other people, in the world of education, in the world of politics, in the world of science, in the world of health, etc., in the world of business, in the world of finances, in the world of economics. This is the whole religion. That's what God means, and God says, this day I have completed for you your religion. Meaning that God was not pleased with us thinking that religion is a spiritual dimension. But religion is a whole life. A whole life. And there's so many supports for this, evidences to support what I'm saying from the Quran. I would spend hours just talking about it. Hours talking about it. Very strong messages from God in the Quran against us thinking that religion is a spiritual exercise only. It is a whole life. The answer for us in this world is this, that we have as the support underlying all of our interests, all of our concerns, the desire to be what God, the Creator, intended us to be. The desire to have the life that God, the Creator, intended that we have. That should be the support supporting everything else. Our men, too many of them, don't have jobs. And drugs is more attractive than to many of them because they're morally weak than the income they can get from working at McDonald's or some other place. The welfare check is not big enough. So welfare is not attractive. Working at these fast food places is not attractive. Hustling wrongfully is no more attractive to the many of them because they have such big money in drugs. How are we going to bring our men, our young men, and our old men to face conscience again, to look in the face of the human conscience, human moral conscience? How are we going to bring them to do that again? We're going to do it with the plan of God. It worked for me. It works for my family, my children. It works for you. Works for your children. Not that we have 100% success. No, we don't. In some of our families, we have jobs that we can't bring to its senses or to her senses. But we don't have a big problem. No, we don't. And if we have that problem, most likely it's because we are not in touch with the guidance that God gives us in this religion. Many of us just have a knowledge of the terminology, but not knowledge of the guidance. We know assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum assalam, we know inshallah, we know alhamdulillah, we might sneeze and remember that we're supposed to say alhamdulillah, etc. But when it comes to the guidance, we don't know it. We are not in touch with the instructions, Islamic instructions, that God gives us in our holy book. So we ourselves are not equipped to deal with the problems that present themselves to us from the world. I use language that I think can be readily understood by it, the average person. God created man to be the hunter. Hunter, H-U-N-T-E-R, hunter. In the early rise of society, or in the early development of society, or civilization, before there was civilization, man felt obligated by his macho, by his masculinity, to go out and bring to his wife or his woman, whatever they want to call her. I believe his woman had more respect than most of our wives have today in our modern society. At least he felt an obligation to see that she went to bed with a comfortable feeling in her stomach, that she went to bed with a full stomach and warm with a fire or with some clothes to put on her to protect her against the cold, and that she was comfortable that her children wouldn't starve. He went out and hunted and came back. If he was fortunate to find some fruits or something growing naturally, he would bring that. And after a while, she said, these fruits are nice and delicious. But they're getting to be just boring to me. Every day I'm eating the same old fruits. Isn't there something else out there that we can eat? And he gets and his imagination expands for him. Hey, I'm going to see how a rabbit tastes. We go out there and he's getting me, hunting me, and he's getting me, and skin him, and got him to clean him up there and put him over a fire and chase him. Runs home to his woman. Taste it. She's delicious. Hey, will you go and get me a few of those mangoes to go with this rabbit? He was a hunter. His natural manhood, his muscles, his strength over the woman, his physical superiority over his woman, just made him feel obligated to go out and see that she had what she needed to have so she wouldn't be fearing starvation, coldness, blood, et cetera, and wouldn't be worried about her children, how they're going to fare tonight and tomorrow. That savage did that. Now, we're living in a civilized world with all of this education, with all of this intelligence, with all of this great moral progress behind us and ethical progress behind us in our lives. And you mean to tell me our men going to sit around here and let their women be the prostitutes of welfare in the federal government and not going to feel their manhood threatened? No. I think all we need to do is knock on the door of their conscience and bring back to mind the great station, the great work that God created them with, and the great station, the great position in this world of life that God created them for. Knock on the door of their conscience and let them know that they've been created better and bigger than all other life. No other life better or bigger than the human life.
Okay, we shall pause right there. We shall pause on that note. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. You know, in speaking with young men, in speaking with men, period, on the last Wednesdays of each month on the broadcast, The Female Solution, Sister Naima Latif and myself, we co-host The Female Solution, and I have requested of her, can we have an all-male conversation on the last Wednesday of each month, an all-male conversation that we need to speak with each other. We need to hold a conversation with each other. I'm not talking about an embellishing conversation whereby you come on and you embellish yourself, or, you know, that we, the only requirement is to be gut level honest. And I have shared on that a broadcast that we as men, other men on the earth are laughing at us. They are laughing. They have no respect for us as men because we do not have charge over the communities in which we live. Other men have, a position of leadership and responsibility for the communities in which they live. And we identify ourselves, we say, I am a man. But there are qualifiers to that statement. There are qualifiers that the male is the maintainer and the protector of the ummah, of the community. And you are not providing the maintenance nor the protection of your women and your children. Others are charged with taking care of your women and your children. So there is somewhat of a challenge to us to qualify ourselves when we say we are men. Other men hear us say that. And globally, they are laughing at us. Yeah, they call themselves men. The government takes care of his wife. The government takes care of his women. The government takes care of his children. But he's claiming to be a man. Leave him alone with that. Let him continue to say that. And we shall set up businesses in their area and take care of their women and their children and get the proceeds from that and continue to enrich ourselves. So we need this type of talk between us and with us and give the proper identification of what it means to be a man. I'll stop right there. I return back to the address, supporting the best life for all people.
Not in this excellence. No other life. No life to challenge us. No life anywhere to challenge us. God has made us the most advanced, the most equipped, the most industrious creature in his whole creation. Even the angels can't look at their industry. They can't look at their educational system and sit back, hey, I'm a special creature. But the human being can only do that. He can sit back and look at his systems of education, his systems of business and industry, etc. Look at his hospitals and his system of health care and everything. Look at it and sit back and say, hey, I'm a hell of a man. Yes. No other creature can do that. We need to hear that. You know, those who have to war with each other, they want weapons to compete. Those who have to compete in industry, they want tools and equipment, etc., to compete.
competition begins on the human plane and in the human arena. And in that arena, we all are equipped equally. No man has a superiority over me because of his creation. We start out with equal equipment. And if he has gone ahead of me, all I have to come into is the knowledge that I began with him as equal. He's ahead of me because circumstances have favored him, or because he has been awake while I was sleeping. This knowledge of our equality gives us the spirit to enter the competition and compete and excel and eventually have something worthwhile that we will be proud of and that we will be secured by and that our wives will be happy with and our children will be protected the cause of. That's what we need. And we are not going to do that talking race talk. We're not going to do that saying the black man is superior to the white man or the white man is superior to the black man. You belch like I belch. When you get a cold, you cough the same way I cough. Your nose runs just like mine. Your body doesn't respond any different than mine. These bodies are the same. It's only the person in the body that are different. And if I can get a situation for me that's good and work on it, maybe I can become your equal and maybe your superior. And that's a fact. Don't envy another people. Congratulate them if they have achieved something of greatness. Don't envy them. Congratulate them. Cheer them on. Because really they are you and you are them. They represent the human family. They represent human achievement. And if they do wonders, it tells me what I can do. Congratulations. I'm going to see what I can do next year. Right? Yes. God says never will he change the condition of the people until they change the condition within their own hearts and souls. That's where the change has to come place first. The change has to occur first within our own mind, within our own heart, within our own soul. We just need a new position to be taken by the invisible, superior person within the wonderful flesh body. That's all. Just let that invisible, superior person within that visible flesh body take a positive position, take a positive step. Stand firmly on something, that secures life and is truthful and is fair by self and others. Fair by self and others. Stand upon that and you will see your life change for you personally, individually, and because of that, you will be an influence in your environment to affect positive change in your family and your neighborhood and everywhere.
Okay. I want to pause now for some important public service announcements. You're listening to American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, an intelligentsia component of the community-wide Shura Conference. We are grateful to those of you that connect with us live here in the studio of American Muslim 360. And for those of you that are listening online, if you want to connect live in the studio, we ask you, if you would, to dial in to 515-605-9891. That is 515-605-9891. Or connect with us at 425-292-4253. You can email us at info@cwsc.us or tweet us at uppercase CWS, lowercase HURAA. You can tweet us at CW Shura. And we invite you, if you would, to visit the website of our parent company, the Community-Wide Shura Conference Incorporated. Just log into cwsc.us. And we love to hear from you. If you would leave a listener comment at 910-317-0297. This is the place where your voice is protected and your intellect is respected. Together we can remake the world. Praise be to Almighty God. Allah, I want to share with you now some important public service announcements. And if there are any of you that would like to make a statement, we ask that you press one on your phone and we will unmute your mic. Praise be to Allah. Okay, yes. We shall hear from Dr. Aisha Kareem, the Executive Director Emeritus of the Community-Wide Shura Conference. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while, God willing, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum. I am Aisha Kareem for Community Wide Shura Conference, American Muslim 360 Broadcasting Network. In this annual season of Ramadan, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can sanction the entire international ummah to enter into a worldwide fitr season for the benefit of religious restoration and to demonstrate tawheed, the oneness of humanity and the oneness of Allah. Allah has sent down the Quran to humanity, perchance that we should not look upon Ramadan as a burden, but as a gracious blessing, that through the searing heat, we're only being reshaped, reformed, and renewed spiritually and otherwise to boost our capacity for human excellence through compassion, patience, and charity, and to increase our potential to be firm in pain and in suffering, and in adversity out of love for him. From the CWSC and the AM360 family, we wish you and your family Ramadan Mubarak.
So I was telling my brothers if they ever had daughters to do certain things with their daughters, that way to just have little daddy-daughter dates and things, and take them on little, have little journeys and take them out to eat and treat them like a young lady and open their, even if they're little, I don't care if they're from 3 to 13, treat them like a woman, open their door for them and hold the door and everything, so that way they will be used to it, because I said one day when they get older, they will look for a husband, and they will be so used to how their dad treated them and how their dad talked to them and told them how they were supposed to be treated, so they won't expect or they won't look for anything less. They will remember, okay, when I get older, and if I will know how my dad treated me, and I will know not to get with anything less, as in if a boy doesn't respect you all the way. You will know what respect feels like because your dad was the first person to show you how a young lady should be treated.
Peace and blessings. I'm DeLacy Umar Phillips, producer and host of the Dynamic Islamic Faith Program, preparing to make it in the land of plenty, right here on AM 360 radio broadcast, the number one Islamic station in the nation, where your intellect is respected, your voice protected. Brought to you each Saturday, 10 a.m. till 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Preparing to make it in the land of plenty is how we focus on the principles of Al-Islam and how they prepare us to be successful in the dynamic, diverse life of the Western culture. Thank you. See you right here, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time every Saturday. Peace and blessings.
And we are back. Praise be to Allah. I see a raised hand. Erico 718219. Welcome to the Evolution, Revolutionary Thought and Creative Purpose. Please state your name and what you're calling from, please.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Brother Earl Ali Nui. How you doing, Imam Kareem?
I'm fine. Praise be to Allah. And yourself?
Yeah, I'm not too good, I'm in the hospital now. The last time me and you talked, remember we was talking about that new telescope and how long expanded space and making all these galaxies and planets and things. Remember we had that talk a while ago?
I think I do.
Yeah, the new telescope.
The web.
I just want to say, before the Imam transitioned, he had asked us to keep him alive. And AM360, Yahoo and Brother William Kareem, Yahoo Islam and William Kareem, the 515 number, y'all are playing the tapes for the Imam. Please keep going and what y'all doing. My back gave in and I'm not doing too well. I don't know if it's going to be my time or not. But I am so thankful that I can hear our leader and teacher, Imam Rafi Muhammad. And I thank him for getting us out of shirk. And it's a blessing that I know Allah taught him. And it's just a blessing to hear him and to remember the good things that he'd done. He didn't sell out. A lot of people wanted him to leave us and teach their community. But he stuck with us, so we need to stick with him. Praise be Allah. If you brothers are doing this, it's a great thing. I read the Quran yesterday because they got me on medication and all of that. And sometimes I'm here and there, and I'm not really feeling good. But if it's my time, I'm going. You know, ain't nobody going to live here forever, and I'm at peace with that. But I just want to thank you, brothers, at least before I go, that I know now, la ilaha illallah. And I'm fine with that. I mean, thank you, my brother. Keep up the good work, okay?
Alhamdulillah, praise be to Almighty God, Allah. And may Allah restore you back to your full strength. Allah is in charge of life and death. Praise
yes, sir.
It is our desire, to keep the thinking, the logic of Imam Wahdi Muhammad public. You know, I want to share with the listening audience another program that we host here on American Muslims 360, highlighting the thinking of our beloved Imam Wahdi Muhammad. And may Allah continue to bless you, my brother. And we are in all praise to Almighty God, Allah. We are only vessels that He inspired. That's all. Yes, sir.
Shukran.
I want to share this public service announcement. This is a very important program that we broadcast here on American Muslim 360. Inshallah, it will catch on. And we were told here is that program.
Assalamu alaikum. Join us each and every Sunday from 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time and 4 to 6 Central Standard Time for the broadcast of the contemplations of Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad, sharing his insights, his wisdom, and his knowledge here on America Muslim 360, utilize the books edited by Brother Morocco, Brother Ghani, and Brother Ronald B. Shaheed. So we look forward to your presence as we share the insight, the logic, and the thinking of our beloved Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad here on America Muslim 360 on a myriad of subject matter. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah. That broadcast will air tomorrow at 5 Eastern Standard Time. Here on America Muslim 360, the contemplations of Imam Waris-ud-Din Muhammad. I don't know about anyone else, but I do know that he was sent to us. Allah sent him to us. Allah filled him up with what Allah wanted him to deliver to us. He was a vessel. He was a vessel of a message from Almighty God, Allah. The Prophet Muhammad is our leader. The Prophet Muhammad is our leader. But the Prophet Muhammad has said in his lifetime that what you hear him saying to you at this time, and for those that are not present, go and tell those that are not present. Perhaps they may understand it better than you. So the Prophet Muhammad have pointed us that there is much knowledge that will come from our human beings in the coming future. And I believe Imam Muhammad was one of those vessels among others. Praise be to Allah. Okay. If there's anyone else that have any statements to make, let me... Okay, so we hope that Allah improves your health, my brother, and we are grateful. Yes, sir, we are grateful to Allah for all of us, and we will not get out of life alive.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yes, sir. And here's I attended a memorial for my nephew that lost his life in California. And it was held at this church. And I expressed to them that the spirit never dies. The spirit lives on. And our bodies return back to the earth. And the spirit never dies. He returns back to Almighty God's will, to Almighty God's will. We are an expression of Allah's will. For Allah is the only one that can say be, and it is. So we are here based upon Allah's will. He willed us into existence, and we shall return back to his will. Praise be to Allah. I thank you, my brother. Keep the faith, and may Allah restore you back to your full strength, inshallah.
Inshallah. Thank you, my brother. Very much, man.
Yes, sir. Okay, we're going to return back to the address, supporting the best life for all human beings.
All world can be changed by one man, by one woman. That's all it takes. So we are hunters. We are hunters. The federal government can't guarantee us jobs where we can have the food lawfully, the clothing lawfully, the apartment lawfully, or the home lawfully. The government can't provide that. Am I going to sit down and just die, shrivel up? I'll go sell drugs to make it? No. My sense of my own personal worth is too big for that. I'm too much above that kind of behavior. And once you get the same message that I have gotten from God, you will also think yourself too important, too valuable, too big, too much above that kind of behavior. And you will say this world is still big, and this world is still plentiful with all kinds of wonderful things. And I'm still a hunter. God has made me a hunter. I'm going out job hunting. I'm going out job hunting. The fish wasn't ready right there before the eyes of the hunter. He went hunting. And he might have found the fish 2 or 3 days down the road. But he finally found the fish. And he walked 2 or 3 days back home and told his wife, I hope it ain't stinking too bad. I did the best I could. Bringing that fish, trying to get that fish back home. And in time, he found a way to get her that fish in good shape. Didn't he? Yeah. Okay. So you say, oh, ain't no income available except from crime, except from the unlawful thing. No income available. You have been made by God. You have been created by God. You are the hunter. All you need to do is to know who you are to hunt for. See, we had those little savage hunters, and they couldn't bring home big things like refrigerated trucks to see that fish won't spoil. Get it home to the wife, away down the road, come there and still fresh. See, the savage hunter, the primitive hunter, he didn't come into those kind of things, but it is the man. And believe me, there is no ungodly society responsible for those clothes you wear, responsible for those chairs you sitting in, responsible for this building we're in today, responsible for the system of transportation out there that we're going to use to get back to our locations, and the vehicles that we ride on, or the airplane that I'll take back home. No ungodly civilization came into that. It was Islamic, Christian, God-fearing nations that came into that great wealth. God gave the God-fearing that, not the non-God-fearing people. Show me a non-God-fearing civilization that came into such. All of this that you have is the product of Islamic and Christian and other God-fearing people. Am I right or wrong? All of this material accomplishment, our material product production, behind it is what? Education. Science and education. Who came into science and education? Religious people. The great religious community. They're the ones that came into science and modern education, or advanced education, the kind of education we have now that's supported by science. They're the ones that came into that. Not the people that don't believe in God. What am I saying to you? I'm saying that we are benefiting from what God blessed the hunter that hunts for God with. Let us be the hunter, hunting not just for the wife, hunting not just for the children, hunting not just for myself. Let us hunt for God. The hunter who hunts for God, he wants to first study God's creation to know how he is to use what he finds, what he is to do with what he gave. What system of justice is to be established so that he's bound by everything in creation, himself, his loved ones, everybody. This is the kind of mind that God created all of us to have.
Okay, we return back to the studio, and I strongly suggest that we have pen and paper and that we take notes. You know, I was sharing the contemplations of Imam Warrior Deen Muhammad. It was either me or Michael. And he and I gave comments to all board. We've only got 90 seconds left of broadcast time. But anyway, Allah charges the human being to dress the earth. Dress the earth. And look around you. Look at these big cities. Large auditoriums, you name it, every system of education. We are charged to dress the earth, and that is human effort, regardless of what color that it comes in. But that is human effort, and we applaud the achievement of the human being in dressing the earth. I must leave the air at this time, and I shall return back to this address, inshallah, next Saturday. I invite you to tune back into American Muslim 360 for the next upcoming broadcast, preparing to make it in the land of plenty. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you, and pre-Ramadan Mubarak.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.